welcome to The Best of Pastor Don Swarthout, brought to you by Crave, Christians Reviving America's Values, where we love to say we crave revival in our churches and the restoration of godly principles in America. And now here is Pastor Don Swarthout with our sermon, George Washington Was a Godly Man.
Hello, this is Don Swarthout coming to you from Pensacola, Florida. I'm happy to be with you today and to talk with you about today's topic, which is the godliness of George Washington. I have chosen this topic because it reminds us how the first president of our country conducted himself while carrying out the business of the office of president of our nation. First, allow me to tell you a little bit about myself so you will know me better. As the chairman of the board for Christians Reviving America's Values, I have been fortunate enough to be invited to speak in most churches in our country. I have also been invited to be a special guest on television at Fox News, CNN News, TBN, CBN, Daystar, Sky Angel, The Sea Television, TCT, WATCT, and KRM-TV, and many, many others. I have also been heard on the radio in all 50 states and in Washington, D.C. I have written hundreds of press releases, and the Associated Press has written many articles about me, which appeared in the nation's newspapers. I have written two amicus briefs for use by the Supreme Court in religious cases, and have written two books about the ACLU. I have made many trips to Washington, D.C. in order to do what I consider is making bold statements to our congressmen and to our senators. Nothing can be more rewarding than when they really listen to you. Lastly, I have written letters to 1.5 million Christians in America since the year 2000, every year. And in these letters, I tell the Christians of America that they are losing their American rights in Washington, D.C. every day, and it does not matter who is president of our country. Both parties are guilty of excessive spending, which is ruining our country. Did you know that both parties have borrowed money from the Social Security money, which you sent in to the government so they could keep spending your money? Yes, it is your money that they are spending. George Washington was the first president of America and was a godly man. He was also the commander-in-chief of the Continental Army, and George Washington was also a devoted Christian. He wrote down his mother's final words to him as he left the house, left home to become a servant to America. The words were, "Remember that God is only our sure trust. To him I commend you. My son, neglect not the duty of secret prayer." After a battle in 1755, George Washington wrote to his brother, John Washington. In the letter he said, "By all powerful dispensations of Providence, I have been protected beyond human probability or expectation. For I had 4 bullets shot through my coat and 2 horses shot out from under me. Yet I escaped unhurt, although death was leveling my companions on every side of me." 15 years later, Washington and Dr. Craig were traveling through the same woods when they met an old Indian chief who wanted to address Washington through an interpreter. The old Indian chief said, "I am chief and ruler over my tribe. My influence extends to the waters of the Great Lakes and to the far blue mountains. I have traveled a long and weary path that I might see the young warrior of the great battle which took place in the year 1755. It was on that day when the white man's blood mixed with streams of our forest when I first beheld this chief, Washington. I called to my young men and said, "Mark ye, tall and daring warrior, he is not of the red coat tribe. He has an Indian's wisdom, and his warriors fight as we do, him alone exposed. Quick, let your aim be certain, and he dies." Our white rifles were leveled, rifles which, but for you, knew not how to miss. It was all in vain. Of power far mightier than we were shielded you, seeing that you were under special guardianship of the Great Spirit. We immediately ceased to fire at you. I am old, but before I go, there is something which bids me to speak in the voice of prophecy. The Great Spirit protects that man, pointing at Washington, and guides his destiny. He will become the chief of nations, and a people yet unborn will hail him as the mighty founder of an important empire. I have come to pay homage to the man who is a favorite of heaven and the man who can never die by a battle. That old Indian chief added that that man, Washington, was never born to be killed by a bullet. I had 17 fair fires at him with my rifle, and, after all, could not bring him to the ground. Even the Indians had an inordinate amount of respect for Washington. Orders came down from George Washington, which said, "The general most earnestly requires and expects a due observation for those articles of war to establish for government, for the government of the army, which forbids profane cursing, swearing, and drunkenness. In like manner, he requires and expects all officers and soldiers not engaged in actual duty a punctual attendance of divine services, to implore the blessings of heaven upon the means used for our safety." On July the 20th, 1775, Washington issued the order, "The general this day has to be religiously observed by the forces under his command, except in the manner directed by the Continental Congress. It is strictly enjoined on all officers to attend divine service, and it is expected that those that worship do take their arms, ammunition, and prepare for immediate action." On July the 2nd, 1776, George Washington issued this order, "The time is now at hand when we must probably determine whether Americans are to be free men or slaves, whether they have any property they can call their own, whether their houses and farms are to be pillaged and destroyed, and whether they themselves are consigned to a state of wretchedness from which no human efforts will deliver them. The fate of unborn millions will now depend on the courage of this army. Our cruel and unrelenting enemy leaves us only the choice of brave resistance or the most abject submission. We have therefore to resolve to conquer or to die." These orders show George Washington was considered the greatest person in our country. The first order shows Washington was indeed a very religious person. The second order shows that George Washington was under a superior leader who told it like it was. On July the 9th, 1776, the Continental Congress authorized the Army to provide chaplains for their troops. General Washington issued the order the following day, which appointed chaplains to every regiment. On the same day, he issued the same type of order to his troops. The general hopes and trusts that every officer and man will endeavor to live and act as becomes a Christian soldier, depending upon the dearest rights and liberties of this country. On August 27, 1776, the British had trapped Washington and 8,000 troops on Brooklyn Heights. Their intentions were to advance the next morning and to crush them. Washington gathered every vessel from fishing boats to rowboats and spent the entire night ferrying his soldiers across the East River. When the morning came, there was a large number of his troops still exposed to the British. But in an unusual change of weather, the fog did not lift from the river. The fog stayed thick and it covered Washington's retreat until the 8,000 soldiers had escaped. Never again did the British have a chance of winning the war. In the winter of 1777, General Washington faced the lack of supplies for his troops at Valley Forge. Washington recognized the superiority of the British, but he did not give up. He watched 12 soldiers per day die without being shot at. Many of them did not have shoes for their feet or blankets to lay on. The general himself wrote about the bravery and obedience of his men. Washington wrote, "No history, now or ever, can furnish an instance of an army suffering such as ours with patience and fortitude. To see men without clothes to cover their nakedness, without blankets to lie on, without shoes for their feet, and yet without a murmur they obeyed, and this is proof of patience and obedience which can be scarcely paralleled." During the winter, a Quaker by the name of Potts passed by the woods near headquarters, which he had leased to the army. Potts heard something ahead of him, and he sought out the sound of a man's voice. He discovered it was Washington, who was interceding for his beloved country. As soon as Washington was done praying for his country and retired, Potts went on home to his own house. When asked what was wrong with him, he said, "I have seen this day what I shall never forget. Till now, I thought a Christian and a soldier were characters who are incompatible. But if George Washington be not a man of God, I am mistaken. Still more disappointed shall I be if God does not perform something great for this country through him." Pastor Henry Nunenberg said of the general, "I heard a fine example today that General Washington rode among his army yesterday and admonished each and every one of them to fear God, to put away the wickedness that has set in, and to practice Christian values. From all appearances, this man does not belong to the world, for he respects God's word, believes in atonement through Jesus Christ, and bears himself in humility and gentleness. The Lord God has marvelously preserved him from harm in the midst of countless perils. God has held him in his hand as a chosen vessel." On May the 2nd, 1778, Washington said to his troops, "While we are performing the duties of good citizens and soldiers, We certainly ought not to be inattentive to the higher duties of religion. It should be our highest glory to laud the character of a Christian. On May the 5th, 1778, receiving news that France was joining the war on the side of the colonies, Washington said to his troops, "It has pleased the Almighty Ruler of the universe to defend the United States of America. To establish our liberty and independence, which we will set apart for a day, for a grateful acknowledgement to His divine goodness and to celebrate this important event, which we owe His divine wisdom, leading Him to select our country as His free country." The point is, General George Washington was so godly that our Father rewarded him. God chose America to be His country of freedom. God had chosen America to be one of His countries. Remember, God had selected Israel as His country 6,000 years prior. God had chosen America to be forever a favorite of God's. It was to accept God as real as payment for that promise. It was the exact same as God's penchant for Israel. This prophecy belonged to George Washington, whether he knew it or not. The following prophecy was given to me about God's writing our Constitution. He sent His Holy Spirit to earth and put the words in the founding fathers' minds. God was able to get the Constitution passed in the same way at a time when we could not agree upon anything between our 13 states. The selection of America having a reputation for believing in God should not surprise anyone. In reality, that is one of the things God wants more than anything, is for Him, the country that He chooses, to believe in Him. I believe, as George Washington prophesied, whether or not he recognized it, we are one of God's selected countries. If we will show Him we are believers in God, we will be His example of a free country and one of His countries. America must forget the idea which says that freedom means anything goes. That is not the kind of freedom God expects. If we want to be one of God's countries and the leader of the free world, we must show Him we believe in God. As an aside here, America has 3 million laws on the books right now. Some of those laws were not written to make America a free country. They were written for another reason. They were written to take away your freedom, either by taking money from you in taxes or raising your cost of living, including fines for not following these laws. We should pay our senators and congressmen to remove these outdated laws. That would keep them busy for quite some time. The fact remains, George Washington was a very godly man. He was a compassionate man who cared for people, including his soldiers. This is a perfect example of Washington living like Jesus. He was always able to tell the ways of God to all men who would listen to him. George Washington showed his compassion and amazement toward his soldiers when he saw their nakedness and their willingness to fight for the future freedom of future Americans in the Revolutionary War, a war which we won more than 200 years ago with the help of God. George Washington has shown his belief in the well-being of all men by commanding them to attend religious services, for Washington knew that learning about God will help a man become a godly man. The general also showed his belief in his men by gathering every boat which was possible to gather. God kept the fog around until the U.S. soldiers had escaped their predicament and the ambush which the British leaders had planned. George Washington was our first president, and he was a godly man. I was taught in my public schools to believe in God and my country. I live in the best country the world has ever known. Democracy is the most sought-after form of government by all people of the world. I am here to ask you to serve God and to save America by being free. Our founders were proud to make our Constitution written by God, and the Constitution was made to make a display of our freedom to believe in God and our freedom to believe in our country. Whether we know it or not, now is the time for us to return to a belief in God. We do not know how long God will wait for us to come to our senses. We had better get busy and do something right now to prove we are servants of God. Why don't you live your life like Jesus would have you live it today? If you are too busy to help the King of Kings, maybe you should think, what if the King of Kings were too busy to help you when you really needed him, say, to be your Lord and Savior? And we will all need him, or we already need him today. Do you want to call on the name of the Lord and have him not know you like the people in Matthew 7:23? Jesus said, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work iniquity. Maybe he was too busy. Maybe you could help those who just need to talk or those who are in prison. Maybe you could help those who are addicted. Or maybe you could help those who need a Savior, like Jesus Christ. But first, you want to rededicate your life to Jesus Christ. Or you want to make a commitment for the first time to Jesus. Just come to the altar and repeat after me. I want all of you to come. Come, come, come. This is the last time I will invite you all to come. Rededicate your life to Jesus Christ, or the first make a first-time commitment to Jesus Christ. Join me at this altar and repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, your word says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shall believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes and unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord is Lord over all, is rich unto all who call upon his name. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You are saved right now, and it is just the beginning for you. However, you will want to do everything else which is for you to do. But you are saved right now. Thank God for your salvation. And remember to run toward Jesus and not away from him. For he is your help in a time of trouble. Remember that Jesus is there to help you to get through all of your trials. Pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. I would like to tell you that we are in a spiritual battle right now in the United States of America. The Bible says in James 4:7, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Please listen to me. The devil is not afraid of your tears. The devil is afraid you will join the battle and you will become one of many who fight against him. That is what the devil fears. The devil fears nothing except you joining the battle against him. Let me tell you truly how bad it is. First, let me say to you, do you think the Islamic terrorists mean what they say? Then they say that they want to kill us. The White House has been aware of ISIS for 1 year. ISIS is making threats about coming to America within 2 months. We must do something. We must not listen to the people who want us to take them seriously when they try to say we should fight to tie our opponent. I believe we must fight to win and nothing less to protect this country. After all, we did not start this war. We did not tell the enemy to make statements such as they would see us in the United States within a month or two at the most. With that in mind, I believe we should beat them until they are dead and eradicated from the earth. If you do not fight to win, we will lose. Lose everything, including Washington's big dream, which is a free United States of America. And it is also God's dream. Your money will be worthless. Your president will win the battle. He stated that the battle is worth what makes us all financially equal or to redistribute the wealth. We will be equally poor, and our president will take over the country as the dictator. What else could this be about? As our president says, we have no plans for the future for this country. Even if he had some plans and he could tell you about them, it is just a scam to get you to shut up. This is the only way the president will be able to make us all economically poor and to redistribute the wealth of our country. This is the president's goal in life. Why else has Obamacare failed so miserably to get people to sign up? Why have we suddenly stopped hearing from the administration about how many people they have signed up? We were told that we are to do something about this and whatever else we see as a concern in the Bible. We are told in the first book of the Bible, we are to take dominion over everything on the earth. Since the days of Washington, so much has changed, and I'm afraid that it is for the worse. This is Pastor Don Swarthout saying so long for now.
Thank you for listening to The Best of Pastor Don Swarthout. If you would like to contact Pastor Don, you can write to 4677 Belvedere Circle, Pace, Florida, 32571. Once again, that's 4677 Belvedere Circle, Pace, Florida, 32571. Or call 850-736-8613. Once again, that's 850-736-8613. You can also email Pastor Swarthout by emailing swarthout5, that's swarthout, the number 5, at AOL.com. And as always, you can visit us online at www.christiansforamerica.com. That's Christians, the number 4, America.com. Thank you again for listening, and may God bless and keep you, is our prayer, and may God bless America.